Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. We have an exciting guest on the show today. We have the multi-talented Moxie Cox in the studio. You may know her from her work with the Suicide Girls, but this sex-positive bombshell is also a blogger, a sex toy enthusiast, a sex educator, radio personality, and so much more. From her favorite sex toys, sex positions, and more, we're getting into it all today. Nothing will be held back. This is it. We're getting into it. This is the real sex talk here with Moxie and Menace.
Hello.
How you doing?
I've been wanting to do this. So I've known Moxie for years, and I've been wanting to do a show like this with her for a really long time. So I'm happy to be doing it together.
I know you've been talking about her for evs.
In the circle of trust.
This is the circle of trust. I got it. Yeah. First, you guys, I got to just talk about, because I know all we're right. Going to talk about, because I love talking to other people who know about sex toys. Yeah. You review them on your website. Yeah. But first, I got to tell you all about a product that has changed my life. And not just because I give amazing like orgasms, because duh, a lot of great sex toys do this. But have you heard of the Intensity? It's by Pormois, and it started off as a medical device, basically. It looks like a rabbit vibrator, but what it does is it does your Kegel exercises for you with electrostimulation, because how important it is to work your pelvic floor, right, Moxie? So, you know, I always talk about the benefits. I'm like, do it at a traffic light, like get download my iPhone app, Kegel Camp, it'll remind you. But we're like, oh yeah, you reminded me, and then I got a phone call. You sit in your bed, you do it 5 times a week, you insert it, and it like measures to the side of whatever your pelvic floor is. You can like adjust it. And then you spend 5 to 6 minutes and your pelvic floor muscles will become so strong, which we know you have stronger orgasms, urinary incontinence, all this stuff. Plus it's a rabbit vibrator. So after that, you do your 5 minutes a day, and then you have a little orgasm, or a big friggin' orgasm. It's the coolest machine. I believe that it's a medical device meets sex toy, and medical might make you all sound so scary there. Just a doctor invented it because so many women have problems with this.
Yeah, and that's the root of sex toys, isn't it? Is it in the medical industry? That's the reason sex toys were invented in the first place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then this one has all these, you know, benefits that it targets your G-spot, your clitoris. It uses electrostimulation, which sounds scary that it is, because it's not at all scary. It's actually find it like really relaxing and meditative. You guys got to check this out. Go to pormois.com/Emily. Also, if you want to learn more about the Intensity and how it changes your life, check out our latest sex toy review podcast, Sex Toy Review. It's called Intense and Unplugged. And I've been doing this for 10 years. I've never had so many responses to a product that I've talked about in my life. We literally got 50 emails about it. Every day we get more, and it's a really good one. So check out our blog, check out our review. You'll love it. Again, go to pormois.com/Emily. That's pormois.com/Emily. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
gotta
have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can check out all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all that good stuff, because we do a lot of goddamn podcasts and a lot of good things so you can have better sex.
I know. How many podcasts are you up to though,
nowadays? It's like I lost count after like 2000. It must be like 20.
But how many are you putting out a month?
Oh, I put out 2 a week, so 8 a month.
Awesome. Yeah, I ran into a Sex with Emily listener just recently, and he listens to all of them.
I love that.
And he loves that you always have fresh content, because a lot of people that podcast, they maybe only put one out a month or something like that. You got to wait and
we and you know what the thing is?
You're just pumping them out every day.
I've never stopped. I owe this to you, Menace. A lot of it is that. So when I started, Moxie, I was just doing a podcast, you know, in my living room just as a hobby 10 years ago. And then which never happens. I got a live radio show on CBS Radio, where Menace was just a little person there, little man.
I helped her to understand the fundamentals of
radio.
He was
working the board, and he was sleeping at the radio station at the time. but we started out that way, which is pretty awesome, how we met.
I made sure we kept our license because...
Yeah, I almost lost it because you can't swear on the radio, apparently. Mm-hmm. You can't say masturbation. But the best thing is, even when the station went out of business and I didn't have a live show, I was like, I got to keep doing it. Menace through thick and through thin. We've always, like, every week turned out at least one or two podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Even when you were in L.A. and Menace was
in
San Francisco.
Yes, we would do it with my little crappy device. We'd be like, putting it... Like, we tried. And then Menace moved here for me, but he won't admit it.
Yeah, when she was in Los Angeles, I was in San Francisco. I'm like, all right, how can we still do the radio show together? So what we would do, we would hit record on. She would hit record in LA on a system.
I'd be sitting in a closet because there's bad sound in my house.
And I would hit record in San Francisco, and then we would talk to each other over cell phones with earbuds, and then I would match up the audio where it sounded like we're in the studio together. Yeah. That's a cheap way of doing it.
Yeah,
people.
Well, the real way costs like
thousands of dollars.
Yeah. But it was good. We've always. Yeah. What I'm saying is, we've always kept the band together.
Yeah, but in the listeners have always been super loyal, so that's cool. So thank you, people, for downloading.
They have. Thank
but
you,
everyone.
But
this is all you. This is your show. I'm just here. One
You're
of your
just
minions
here to hang out.
Of
yeah,
many
right.
that you have.
I don't know that many minions, but I also want to say that I just want to thank everyone too, because this last month it's been crazy. We've had so many even more listeners and downloads, and we've been hearing from just people across the board. Maybe it's because you've been talking about a lot, Menace. And now we've got Moxie on.
I know.
So now it's going to change the whole thing's going to go friggin' crazy.
You had to pull me down from San Francisco too.
I know.
When did you get here from San Francisco?
I've been here just a year and a half. I was in LA, and then I moved to San Francisco for a year, and then I came back to LA.
Why did you leave San Francisco?
Too cold, not enough cool people.
Yeah.
I know. Cute people. Not enough guys.
I didn't know that until I moved here. Everyone's like, everyone there is ugly, which is such a bad thing to say, because I don't think that's true, but people make those jokes.
I mean, if you're a 7, you can go to San Francisco and be a 10.
But no,
11.
We used to joke. My friends like, 7s think they're 10s. I'm like...
No, it's true.
So am I not really a 10?
Like, people have like crappy attitudes.
It's true. I agree 100%.
Well, I'm glad we're all here now.
So we can we're all together in one room.
I know, I love it.
San Francisco is a beautiful city. The only thing that makes it crappy is a lot of people inside of it. And it's a lot of people that are not actually even from.
Menace.
Yes. No.
No one's from anywhere.
Well, I was born and raised
in the area.
I know, but I'm just saying, and I think that's what also gives LA a bad rap too, is a lot of people that come from, you know, some random town where
like
they were like a nerd or something. Yeah, or they come here and then they reinvent themselves and become a complete douche and give a city a bad name. And I think that's what happens in San Francisco a lot too.
Yeah, it happens everywhere.
But you can still find cool people.
You can find cool people. And I'm starting, I mean, it's been 3 years I've been here now. Can you believe? But I feel
how many people have you slept with since you've been here?
Oh, geez. How much? You know, not as many as you'd think.
Yeah.
Do I really have to answer that question? I don't answer questions like that.
I feel like I went through a huge dry spell when I moved to San Francisco. Yeah. There was a period of time where I was like, I don't have a regular fuck buddy. I haven't slept with anyone in 2 months, which is a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
And then I moved back to Los Angeles and it was like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
How did you
right
meet
back
guys?
On track.
How do you meet guys?
Was it guys being, because they're pusses
it
in
was,
San Francisco, right? They're not aggressive at all.
I don't know what it was.
We used to say that, like, check your balls at the Golden Gate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of mommy issues in San Francisco. A lot of negative reactions to any, like, female being aggressive or, like, sexual in any way.
Right.
And I did a lot of online dating, Tinder, OkCupid, to meet guys and girls. And there was some bad experiences.
So when you got here, when you moved to LA, did you find that it was... Just better.
I mean, I was again still using online dating, and also I had kind of like I had lived in LA for 6 years before I moved to San Francisco, so I had already
like
cultivated.
Yeah.
I was back, and I was back with renewed energy, and I'm ready to go.
I remember when you moved to San Francisco, I'm like, why are you moving here? Because it just seemed like it wouldn't be your scene.
It wasn't her jam.
She had to check it out. People idealize San Francisco. The thing is, and I love it. It's still in my heart. Yeah. I was there for 20 years, but it's a beautiful city. Mm-hmm. You know, I find interesting people. You know, you're not as caught up in the looks and the glamour and celebrity. It's not about that. It's about like who you are as a person. Right. No one cares what car you drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, some people do where you go, but not my people. But I do think that LA has just been, I've met so many interesting people. It's just been a good change, I think.
Yeah.
And I think people are more laid back here.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Nicer. Like, you know, if my contract doesn't get renewed, I'm packing it up and going back.
Menace, that will never happen.
I grew up in the Bay Area. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah. So my childhood was all there. And I think in moving back to San Francisco, I was kind of like, oh, I'll be closer to my family and it'll be good. And I just never found my people there. And I was like, I need to get back
to it. Yeah, it takes a while to find your people everywhere. But San Francisco, people often say it's very clicky and it's harder. So I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I thought the kink scene was going to be super amazing in San Francisco because of kink.com and the Armory. And I did a lot of events with them. But I still was not ever plugged in the way that I was in Los Angeles.
Right. And so you're really, okay, so just to give you some more background on Moxie, you're the nude model, sex toy expert, psychology student, sex positive activist, California native. You love listening to music, perusing used bookstores when you're not getting naked.
Yeah. I had an experience recently. I just started school again. And so I walked into one of my psychology classes on the first day, and my professor looks at me and he goes, "You look vaguely familiar." And I was like, and I know, of course, it's like I've been naked on the internet for a decade. So at some point, I'm sure he's run into me. But I'm just like, "Oh, did you teach at Cal State LA?" And he's like, no, just looking at me with that look. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down.
He's like, did he ever figure it out?
I don't know if he has. I don't know.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I'm sure, because you're like, yeah. Do people come to you all the time and say, "You look familiar"?
Sometimes. I mean, I was in New York recently, and I walked into a coffee shop, and some guy came running in after me, and he was like, you, I forget your name, but I follow you on Instagram. And I was like, probably.
Okay, so you're Moxie Cox?
Yeah, moxiecox.com is my blog, and that's where I write about sex toy reviews and other things sexually related. But I mean, I've been Moxie Suicide. I became a suicide girl in 2008. So that's been a while now.
And let's talk about suicide girls. Not everybody knows what suicide girls are. So can you give us a little brief?
I think of suicide girls as kind of like the alternative Playboy was the original kind of thing of it. So it's girls that are, you know, confident and maybe alternative looking, getting naked and kind of coming together and holding the banner of this like alternative lifestyle type thing. And it's been really cool. I've met all of my closest friends through Suicide Girls. There's a great community. It's a web community based around the models of Suicide Girls. And there's so many different types of people that have come together through, you know, obviously wanting to look at naked girls, which we all like to do, that all these different groups have formed, like people that are interested in technology or people that are interested in, you know, certain types of music and all these things.
Yeah, they have like a community board with all different types of subjects.
Before the internet was what it was today, when it was just kind of like chat rooms and there wasn't so many different outlets for meeting people online. Suicide Girls was there.
Right. And you're like more alternative.
Right.
Like you think of like tattoos, like dark eyeliner, all that stuff. So, and do you have a lot of friends, a lot of your friends here, Suicide Girls too?
Yeah, absolutely. There's over 100 Suicide Girls in Los Angeles. And so through doing events together and you kind of find that you have a common bond with these women that you meet that also like to get naked. And
how did you get into it? Have you always been more alternative? And then you were like,
get naked. At one point, I was in a study abroad program, and I was living in London, and I was super, super broke. And I answered an ad for an art class looking for someone to come pose in front of the class naked. And I was like, and they were going to pay cash. So I was like, okay, I could do this. So I go, and I show up, and I like derobe, and I stand in front of the class, and I was like, I left. And I was like, wow, that was really easy. And that was pretty awesome. And like, I feel pretty good. So then I started just to look for more jobs where I could just be
naked,
getting paid to be naked, which I like being naked anyways. And I was surprised at how easy it was for me to just be naked in public.
Well, you're hot too, right? But also to have it, to not be nervous, not be self-conscious. That's a rare. Yeah.
And then after that, I moved to New York and I did more of that, but for photographers. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, Suicide Girls had just teamed up with PETA, the animal rights group, and they had these giant billboards all down Sunset Boulevard that said ink, not mink. And it was all these hot girls and tattoos, like basically naked, just saying that they were against animal cruelty. And it was the Suicide Girls. So that's
so then you were like,
first.
I'm in. That's me. Those are my people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a question. So I know according to your blogs, we read all about you. You were raised in a Christian household that saw sex as a marriage-only situation.
Absolutely.
Which a lot of people, I think, can relate to growing up in a very religious home where sex is just for procreation. And a lot of people get stuck in that. And then even if they decide to get married, like, they can't get out of those feelings of you know, sex is, you know, something, I'm doing something wrong and shameful. So I'm wondering how you were able to break through that.
Yeah, I actually was super, super involved in my church as a young adult. And as a high schooler, to the point where I went to a Christian college, the Bible Institute of Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yes, Biola. And when I was there, I really saw all these people kind of struggling with their sexuality and kind of like, you know, feeling like they were being sinful. And even I did, like, I felt guilty if I wore like a low cut shirt, and it was something
that
was
Bible school.
Yeah. Really anti like my inner tendencies, like myself. And so I did a study abroad program where I wound up going to London. And because I was away from everything and everyone that I knew, and basically, I mean, on a different continent, right, it allowed me to just kind of be introspective and figure out who I really was at my core.
Right. And then you were naked in our
class.
Then
I was like, that's who I am. Like to be naked. I have sexual feelings. I've been having sexual feelings. And so I was like, I felt bad for all of my peers in Bible school who were told, can't have sex, sex is bad, no sex thoughts. And then the day that you're married, all of a sudden, never mind, it's good, have lots of sex. You're supposed to be having sex with your husband. And to me, I was like, that doesn't make sense. How could they possibly be told, no, 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 no. Okay, now it's okay, go.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, like, so in your mind, because a lot of people don't even question it because they grew up with it.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, now I'm in Bible school. So did you?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was going to ask, so when you came back from this experience and you start sharing it with people, like, what was the reaction?
I think people were kind of surprised, but they were also, then they started asking me a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, I would get all these, like, emails or, like, Facebook messages and be like, so, you know, this, that. And it became common knowledge to me that it wasn't just me, that everyone was struggling with this. And I had so many friends that got married right out of graduating from Christian school who never even saw their significant other naked before they got married.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it's like, it's just not healthy. And so I was like, there's a need to, for people to speak out, especially women, that sex is healthy if you're doing it in a healthy way, in a way that is good for you.
Right.
And masturbation is healthy because there's such like an anti-masturbation thing.
You, when did you start masturbating?
Yes.
Like, did you have to like repress it for a while? And then you're F it. I'm in London. I'm naked. Like,
yeah. When I was like 11, I remember kind of like grinding up with another girl, like a girl, a girlfriend. And we kind of experimenting that way, but we didn't know, or at least I didn't know what I was doing that was like wrong. And then when I was in college at Biola, I was kind of like, I don't think masturbation is bad. I still thought sex was bad. Like, I can't have sex before I'm married. But I'm like, I don't think it says anything like wrong about masturbation.
Like, it feels really good.
So
really
I started using the handle of a hairbrush, right?
Very common.
And it was that old Nokia phone. Do you guys remember that first Nokia phone that everyone had that you like played Snake on or whatever? Mm-hmm. So you could like put it on the setting where you could choose how you wanted your phone to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use that and a hairbrush handle.
Very innovative.
Wow. You're like the MacGyver of sex
toys. MacGyver of sex toys. I had to be. I was thinking of making this bumper sticker that was like the hairbrush with like a cross.
So many women. It wasn't a vibrator. You made it a vibrator. That's because so many women use the vibrating hairbrushes, vibrating toothbrushes.
Oh, yeah.
But you were like, this doesn't vibrate, but I'm going to find something that will make it.
I was like, I'm going to make this work.
MacGyver. That's totally amazing. MacGyver. So then you had an orgasm using a vibrator.
I did, yeah.
And then you advanced.
I didn't lose my virginity with a guy until I was 22. So it took a while and it was a lot of like introspection and then finally being like, I'm okay with this and I want to do it and it's not wrong. But I had to get to that place in myself mentally before I could actually physically go through with it.
Okay.
And then once I had sex, I was like, oh, the world hasn't turned to lava. It's not, there's not volcanoes, like things aren't exploding. And I was like, this is actually a really amazing experience. And I'm glad that I waited this long to the point where I had mentally prepared myself.
You had time to think about it. You weren't pressured into it. You made a decision. Knew your body.
Exactly.
You had an orgasm with a toothbrush.
And sex was amazing for me. And even my first time was amazing. So
really?
It was great.
Did you have an orgasm the first time?
I did.
Oh, geez.
And I felt really, really lucky because I knew that wasn't that experience. And in that regard, I'm glad that I had kind of had the opportunity to wait and to think about it before I had sex.
Yeah, no. And in a way, that is really good because so many people they get into it because they get pressured. They think they have to.
Able to convert any of your friends into your...
I did, so one of these girls that I went to Biola with, we wound up moving together after I came back into a small apartment in Hollywood. And we went on this like sex toy binge where we like bought all these sex toys like to experiment with. And, it was just kind of like, then it became this like breaking out of what we had known where we went almost like the opposite direction.
That's what people tend to do, the pendulum swings in the other direction.
Exactly. And so I'm kind of glad that my childhood was the way that it was. So now I have this passion about speaking to women about masturbating and like being open with their sexual
experiences. Exactly. I mean, that's a, probably one of the, I would say if I had to talk about my top three things is really helping women, because sex, we can help the guys a lot too, but women, if you don't know your own bodies, it's not going to work out for you. Like you think that someone's just going to come in and figure it out. Now you were, well, you had already done your work and then you had an orgasm the first time.
Yeah, which is great. And
it's so rare.
It is so rare. And I think it goes to a lot. I tell people about working out your pelvic floor muscles and I'm like, just like you work out your bicep, like you need to work out your pelvic floor muscles, and you can do that through masturbation, and it's such a good way.
So you work yours out regularly?
I do. I use the Kegel.
The Kegel balls?
No, I have Kegel balls. There's a product called Kegel.
Oh,
and it has an iPhone app.
I've seen those, yep.
It's really cool, but there's plenty of ways to work out your Kegel muscles.
Right, that's good. No, it's true. Mm-hmm. It's really, really important. So you said you also started working at a sex toy store.
I did. Hollywood. Yeah, and so that was random. I quit a job right at the brink of the 2008, like when everyone got fucked, right?
Bad time.
Yeah.
Those are really bad times.
Dark. And I was like, oh my gosh. But I had always shopped at this one store on Hollywood Boulevard for laundry.
Was it Hustler Hollywood? Or?
No, okay. It was called Bed Behavior.
Okay.
Which is such a like clever
bed,
name.
Bad, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always went in there to get lingerie and stuff for Suicide Girl shoots. And I kind of knew the girls that work there, and they're like, oh, you could start working here, like try it out. And I was kind of like, I don't know. I started working there. I loved it. I've never loved a job more.
Tell me why.
I really liked people coming in who were kind of like shy, and it could be like an old grandma or like a young girl, and helping them find a really great sex toy and then having them come back and be like, that was awesome, or like recommending lube that changes people. I had this one gay gentleman who came in and he's like, I like the lube, every lube sucks. And I introduced him to some lube specifically made for anal sex.
Oh, like Anal Glide?
I think it was Analyze Me by Pure.
Pure.
And he came back with a bracelet for me. He's like, you changed my life. Thank you so much.
A bracelet?
A bracelet. He brought me a gift for recommending lube.
Nice. Right.
And, but it's like, people, it's so confusing. You go, that's why I teach to talk about specific toys, because I only talk about things that I love and that I've tried, but it's like, it can be so overwhelming for people. They're like, I've never had an orgasm. Like, am I going to really plunk down $100 if it's not so great? So it's that you work in a store and you can really like tease it out of people. Like, well, how do you orgasm?
And people should go in and ask. I think people go into sex shops and they never talk to the employees, but you should, because they are, you know, they have a wealth of information about the products they work with. And I think that most people want to help you out.
What was the first toy you tried besides the toothbrush MacGyver thing?
Yeah, it was a clitoral like bullet.
A pocket rocket.
It was called the Nubby Bullet.
The Nubby Bullet.
Nubs are good. Nubs are really good.
Which is like such a weird name, but it was
the Nubby Bullet.
And it had like the speed control was a dial, which is still one of my favorite things when it's a dial, so you can kind of like go up and down. You don't have to fidget with too many buttons. But that thing lasts me forever, and now I just go through vibrators.
What do you like? Yeah. So, what's your favorite toy right now?
Well, real quick before you answer that one, I'm sorry. When you're working at the sex toy shop, what was the most popular item?
So how many years ago was it?
This was 2008.
Okay.
So it then became the Nubby Bullet because I was such a huge fan. But I'd be
so
like,
we pushing more Nubby Bullets.
I hope they gave you commission on
it. We did get a commission. It was, you know, and it was like,
makes it? Because I know people are going to be emailing. All right. It's probably a $10 toy. Don't buy it.
I don't even know if it still exists. It was Cal Exotics. It was probably. Right. I use the Lalo Smart Wand now, which I really like.
Oh, you like Lalo Smart Wand? Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I also use the Eroscillator. And that's like my old standby.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
It has a little nub on it. It does. Try to explain. It has a little turning thing on the end of it, and it's like
goes like this. There's an attachment called the Golden Spoon. That's my favorite one. I kill a lot of sex toys.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you could use them a lot. Do you photography with using toys and stuff?
I don't. Actually, that's a lie. I do. I've shot a lot with strap-ons, like wearing them, or with dildos, but I haven't shot with like a vibrator.
And
are
you bisexual?
I wouldn't necessarily label myself bisexual. I say that I'm like sexually fluid or sexually open.
Right.
But I do regularly sleep with both women and men.
Okay. So you're not in a relationship? Are you in a relationship?
I'm in a relationship. My boyfriend's sitting outside.
Oh, that's your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a really cool relationship where he's a touring musician. He actually leaves on tour tomorrow. And so we can sleep with whoever we want when he's gone on tour. And when he's here, I can still sleep with women.
Okay. So when he's here, you can say, and when he's gone, men or women.
Yeah.
And now I have a question. Do you guys talk? Is it don't ask, don't tell?
No. Our thing is you can ask as many questions as you want, but the information that you have to give is the morning after you have sex, you just text and say, hey, just wanted to let you know that I slept with someone last night. And then the other person can say, ask as many questions as they want. Okay. And then you have to answer.
And how have you dealt with jealousy in this role? How long have you guys been together, first of all?
We've been together a little over a year.
Okay.
And he tours for 3 months, about every 2 months. He leaves on a three-month tour. Jealousy, it's not that I don't have jealousy. I think that it's mentally going through why I'm feeling jealous. And I think it's a positive thing to feel jealousy towards your partner. And it's how you handle it and whether it becomes constructive to your relationship or not. So I think I'm reading a lot and having resources of people who have similar relationships,
right,
and also understanding the psychology of jealousy and why humans feel the certain way that they do, which is how I came to wanting to always have an open relationship.
Right.
To begin with.
Sounds like Emily's dream.
No, I know.
And I've been working on it. No, I'm telling you, I've been working on it over the years.
It's not easy. I don't think that it's necessarily, it's not for everyone. And it's not something easy, but it's definitely easier as it goes along and easier than I thought it would be originally.
And you probably get closer and more into it because there are no secrets, really. Like, you exactly. really...
And it's almost the weirdest thing because after you sleep, or at least for me, and I know that he's expressed the same thing, like, after we sleep with someone else, you almost miss the other person more.
Right, because you guys have that intimate connection, that the intimacy. But I have a question for you. Is there any rules with you guys that, like, you can't, it's hard to say this, but you can't develop an emotional attachment, or it can't, I know everyone has their own rules, you can't sleep with the same person again twice.
We have, I don't like him, I say don't sleep with any girls under 21.
That's a good rule, right?
Like, youngins. And also, like, no texting that's not, like, I'm setting up a date.
Right.
So, like, no texting after or before that's not like, hey, I'm going to meet you here, or I'll meet you here, or whatever.
Okay. Like, and how about with you? Like, does he, because he's gone for 3 months, so he's out, and then you're here, but it hasn't ever been a time where you've met someone and you're like, wow, this is really great, because 3 months is a long time.
Yeah.
And then he comes back in town, and then you're like, can't talk to anymore?
I think I try to be really honest about my relationship and then honest with myself also. And if I feel myself growing attached, then I'll just kind of try to separate myself.
See, that's really healthy. That's really healthy, because I think that is the hard part. And trying to understand that, like, because I have the ability to really love many people, I think, and to connect. And so.
And you definitely will feel tender towards people that you're sleeping with. And I think that's definitely, you can't just sleep. I mean, sometimes maybe you sleep with someone, you don't feel tender towards them. And you're just like, whatever.
And you're like, don't let the door hitch in the ass.
I think I wouldn't expect him to always feel that way about people that he sleeps with. And I'm sure he doesn't expect me to feel that way. Like, you will feel tender towards people. And I think that's normal.
Okay. And then you guys also do threesomes and stuff?
We haven't. I've had a lot of threesomes in the past. I used to actually be part of a triad where it was a married couple and me.
Wow.
And so, but we haven't had a threesome in our relationship yet. It's not because we're against it. I'm sure it'll happen at some point.
Yeah, you guys have been busy.
Yeah, we've been busy with other people.
It's really busy. You got to coordinate all their schedules and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's true. So what about dating in LA, though, when you got here? What do you think about that? Like, how did you meet people online mostly?
Yeah, I did eventually there will be a book because my online dating experiences are pretty crazy. I tried to do like an OkCupid date at least once a week for some time in Los Angeles, even before I moved to San Francisco. And it was crazy. It was a lot. There's a lot of people out there.
There's a lot of people. But what about, okay, so you're more into kinky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you put that out there, and how do you explain it to people? Or they're like, what do you mean? Like, kinky can mean so many things.
Like, what level?
What level of kink?
I think I say kinky, but pretty much right away, if I'm on a date with someone, it'll go there maybe right away. And it's kind of like a litmus test, because you can notice when someone's like scared and they're not into it, or if they're intrigued and they want to know more.
So is it on the first date you'll even bring it up?
Yeah, it's not even that I necessarily want to. I feel like it always does. It just comes up.
The sex. Does he bring it up? The guy usually?
You know,
well, they ask what
it's
you do.
Probably me. Yeah.
I can't get around it.
I can't get around it. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. And for a long time, I worked for stockroom.com, which is a kinky toy place. And especially if someone comes back to my house, like, I have a lot of kinky artwork. I have amazing glass dildos on display. Like, there's kinky stuff happening in my house.
Yeah.
There's
I used to be in my living room. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, you can't hide it.
They're sending me like a thing to cover. But yeah, you really can't hide it. Mm-mm. But like, if you're with somebody though, and he's like, I'm not into that, it freaks me out, then you're like, we're not going past this.
Yeah, I remember dating someone for maybe like a couple weeks, and I like to have sex. I almost always, like, there's a point, it's like, I always almost, if I felt a connection with someone, had sex on the first date. And then it was like, okay, I want to have sex with this person again, or I don't, or I want to see them again, or I don't. Like, I knew pretty much, like, after that or before that.
So you had sex with them on the first date just so you knew? You're like, why waste time?
No, if I wanted to. Like, if I felt a connection and I was like, okay, cool. Like, I like this person. I want to have sex. And then it was like, almost like, okay, like, yeah, I want to have sex with them again, or no, then we don't have a connection.
It's in jive. So are you more dominant or submissive in bed, or does it switch?
It depends. With girls, I love to strap on and be dominant and be the one, like, with the dick. Like,
right.
It's really, I don't know. I have major penis envy.
Yeah, me too.
But with guys, I really want someone to take hold and kind of, like, be a little bit more aggressive with me. So it depends on the situation.
What about, like, are you into, like, bondage, BDSM?
Yeah. My latest thing has been playing with electricity.
Oh, yeah. There's so many great electro-stim vibes out there, too.
Oh, my gosh.
What is going on?
Talk to Menace.
I know, Menace. Menace. Electro-sex.
Okay.
This is my newest thing. So there's this thing. It's called the Power Tripper. And you plug it into a neon wand. So the neon wand is like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, it's like a clear, glass.
Yeah, it's like a wand, and you can put different attachments in it, and basically it conducts electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use this wand, and I can touch you, and you would feel like a little shock.
Okay.
But it feels good.
It feels good. It's just like, Menace is inching away from me as we're talking. He's rolling across the room. And so there's this thing, it's called the Power Tripper. So you basically plug into an electrical source, and then it makes you conductive of electricity. So your whole body, your fingers, if you're a dude, your dick is putting out tiny electrical.
And it can feel really good, like vibrations and electrical together too.
Yeah. So it's really, really amazing and fun to play with.
Wait, okay, hold on.
I feel like Superman.
I know.
No, I'm trying to figure out how it
works. You're thinking of getting, like, shocked and, like, your
whole
hair sticking.
No, not that part. So I'm plugging it in, and then how am I attaching it to my body?
So you plug it in, and it's, like, a wire, and then it has, like, a metal square. Uh-huh. And you can put it in your underwear or, like, in a garter or in your bra, however you want to put it on. So it has contact with your skin, and then you conduct the electricity.
Wow.
So, like, your fingers or your... It's really
cool.
It's
on Amazon?
Do you feel...
Which one do you recommend?
Go to goodvibes.com.
Yeah, goodvibes.com.
Use code Emily and get some electro-stim. I just got the Jimmy Jane Touch one that's electro-stim too. Have you tried that yet?
I haven't tried that. I do love Jimmy Jane products though.
Me too. I just got it in the mail, so I'm going to try it, Menace. I'll let you know. I'll report back to you as well how it works. But do you feel that the guys like it, men like it, and you like it as well, or that you like it more?
I can imagine if you were smoking weed and doing that. That'd be crazy.
You're like, whoa, what's going on? Is there a lightning storm?
Have you used that weed lube?
No, I haven't, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
I used it, yeah.
Do you like it?
I did. Faria. It was crazy. I don't smoke weed at all.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe every once in a while. So I turned into like total stoner when I was getting fucked and I was using that lube. I was like, whoa, yeah. Like I just all of a sudden transformed into stoner. Land.
Exactly. But do you feel like it may give you more orgasms? Or?
I feel like it elongates
your orgasms. Yeah. I mean, I tried it. I didn't have a crazy reaction. Like, some people have great reactions, some people don't. But, you know, why not try everything? I feel like there's nothing I will not try at least
I
once.
I feel the same way. Like, I'm open to trying everything and I'll say no or yes.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. When we come back, we're going to get more into your sex life and some more toys that you love and Menace's sex life. I think we just got to push a sex toy at him, take home.
I went over to my best girlfriend's house to cheer her up after a recent breakup. Of course, I bought her a care package that I thought would do the trick. And not to brag, but I nailed it. I hadn't seen her that excited since prom. See, I'm pretty gifted at gifting pleasure, but the combination of the magic wand rechargeable and a pint of ice cream had her this close to forgetting about her heartache. She had no idea that the magic wand was now unleashed from its cord. She couldn't believe it had 4 intensity levels, 4 new vibration patterns, the same mind-blowing power as the original, and can easily be used in any room of the house. And hey, she can even throw it in her bag on her next date, when she's ready, of course. And get this, I haven't heard from her since, so I think the two of them will be very happy together. But let's be honest, who wouldn't? The Magic Wand Rechargeable is the sure thing. To get yours, just go to magicwandemily.com or click the banner on my website today. So I was at a party the other day, and like always, the conversation turned to sex. And like always, I brought up Joe Lubes. Someone asked about sensual massage, which got me going about Donna by Joe. Donna is Joe's collection of bath and body products like shave gel and bubble bath and, of course, massage oil. I love Donna products. Not only do they feel and smell amazing, they are all aphrodisiac infused, which makes everything super sensual. From linen spray to massage candles, you can build an entire evening or weekend around Donna experiences. So if you're looking for a great gift or you want to have a super sexy evening, then Donna is your new girlfriend. Click on the Donna banner on my site or search D-O-N-A in my store.
It's so crazy though, when we started this show about 10 years ago, I would just jokingly say all these crazy sex toy ideas. And 10 years ago, I'm like, she like couldn't even grasp it. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if I, let's say I'm here in San Francisco and then some girl is like in Illinois and I can, you know, plug in something into my computer and have sex with it. And on the other side, like she could be like getting penetrated, whatever.
Yeah. And now that stuff happening. Is happening. Fleshlight, the key room.
I'm always ahead of my time.
Menace, you have been a millionaire.
I know.
Menace throws out these, but I don't take them seriously. I'm like, you've never used a sex toy, but yes, the key room exists.
Have you never used a sex toy of any type?
I've used sex toys. Like, I'll
admit. Ask them which one. Let's
I
want to
know which one.
Yeah.
Have you used a vibrating
I've
cock
used
ring?
The something. I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Never. He's never used one. You don't pay attention. It vibrated.
Yeah, it like vibrated.
Was it the size of an egg?
It was a did it look like rubber.
Was it
metal.
Phallic?
It was phallic.
Are you talking about something? Were you sticking it up your bum?
No.
No. God, no. Menace. But, we're working. We're just working on him to like talk about sex.
There's this whole thing that I joke about on the show where it's like, you know, you use a sex toy, it's a gateway drug. You know, once you get there, next thing, you know, you start with a bullet, and then next thing you know, you're using something that's called
true.
A dump truck.
That's true.
You know, and then and I don't know. And then if you're like, who knows? Maybe you know, my partner, she's not satisfied with just what
she's
we're doing.
She's gonna leave you for the vibrator.
No. I'm not afraid of that. But maybe if we're satisfied in what we're doing without the toys, then cool. But if there's something that they want to bring into the situation, then go ahead. I'm not against that.
Right. You're not against it. That's
but
good,
you're saying that I should be the pusher and the person says,
honey, I could bring
you know what? We need to bring in.
No, it's not. There's no need. It's that sex.
It's just a
Hitachi
magic
different
wand.
Sensations. Your penis will never be able to electrostimulate her. You will not be able to What if she loves electrostimulation?
I'm not against that. I'm just saying if you're okay with what you're doing now,
fine. Things sound great. If it's
but
if, it ain't
if you're
folks,
in a relationship
if it ain't folks,
and you want to bring
broken,
it in,
don't fix
no,
it.
No, I think that's the wrong attitude. I think you know, if things are great the way they are now, think of how much more amazing they can be when you add things.
Exactly.
I agree. I'm just saying that I'm not going to be the initiator.
You know how you love Disneyland?
Yes.
And there's all these rides. Maybe every other day there's new rides, and then there's like, oh my god, I can't wait till next year. We're going to go on that ride. But this year I'm going to go upside down and do it 3 times in this Ferris wheel. Not that whatever the great rides are there now, because I haven't been there like you have in 20 years. But like, it's not like this ride, the one that you go upside down, and the one where you go really fast on the Ferris wheel or the what's it called, roller coaster, is so much better. They're both thrilling experiences.
I
understand. You don't have to choose.
And I know I'm going to get blown up on emails how's he on sex
we're
with Emily? And he's not.
No, they don't.
He's not getting. You know, the anal ripper and all and that the new devices stuff. I'm just saying that, look, do whatever the hell you want to do. I don't care. And if you want to bring it into the situation, I'm not against that either.
Okay, good.
I'm just saying I'm not the initiator when it comes to that stuff.
Okay, I got it. Moxie, back to your sex life.
I'm very interested in your sex life.
Okay, yeah, Moxie. I'm very interested in your sex life. So I want to know about how, like, when you say you're like into more kinky or BDSM, like, do you feel like in the last few years, even that you're always kind of pushing the envelope with it and you want to keep raising the bar, or like, is there anything new you've tried lately?
I think maybe like 5 years ago, before like kinky was, before there was 50 Shades of Grey or whatever, and people were more aware of kinky behavior, I would always kind of do this thing where it could be a guy that I was having sex with once or that I'd have multiple time, where I'd have a ball gag right next to my bed. So he'd be fucking, like, maybe he'd be fucking me from behind it, and I just put on the ball gag, and then I'd turn around just to kind of, like,
test them?
Yeah. What? To kind of see what their reaction was.
What would it be?
Almost always the guy like thought it was really hot, but also was like, I've never had anyone do that to me before.
See that, okay, that is such a good example there. Because people are like, we have to have so many shows on how do I introduce my partner? Leave it by your bed and just turn it on. Yeah. Put it on. Yeah, exactly. But did he know what to do with the ball gag? Did he know to like pull it?
Or no,
you
just I just put it on so I just like have it in my mouth and you're like, you know, turn around. It's just like the visual stimulation of like, whoa.
Right. That's awesome. I see. I think that, what about using sex toys with partners? Are you ever like, how do you bring that in?
I always have a sex toy, probably 8 sex toys by my bed. And I will just, I would always grab, I mean, having the Hitachi Magic Wand be wireless is amazing. Right. But a wand type toy so that when I'm getting fucked from behind, I can be using it on my clitoris.
Exactly.
And oftentimes the guys love it because that vibration is reverberating into them and they're like, whoa.
They love it.
They love it.
They're like, oh my God, my balls feel the vibration.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so damn good. I never feel the vibration on my balls.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's they get so psyched.
They do.
That's a great way to just leave it out. Don't worry what people are going to think.
Just leave it out and turn it on and just stop overanalyzing it. So, yeah.
And do you find that, like, so you said you orgasm easily the first time you had sex. How do you typically orgasm? Like, clitorally, G-spot, both?
I mean, when I'm masturbating, I almost always use a clitoral stimulation and orgasm clitorally. When I'm having sex, either with a woman where she's wearing a strap-on or with a guy, I can have vaginal orgasms. And I do squirt, which has had some weird shock. Like, some guys have been really shocked by that.
Shocked happy or shocked, like, what? Depends.
Maybe they've never experienced that before.
Weirded out. Yeah. Some really like, oh my God, that's awesome. And some like, so.
Did you pee?
Oh, what just happened?
Yeah. I know. Right. Now, do you feel like there's certain positions that make you squirt more, right? Like G-spot?
Yeah. Always, almost when I'm on top.
Yeah.
And then I can kind of like, then I'm kind of also grinding my clit like on the dude's stomach.
Right.
And so then I'm having multi-stimulation things happen. But
do you feel like every time you squirt, you're having an orgasm? But can't you do you squirt without orgasm?
I can sometimes. So usually it happens in like spurts of 3. So the first time that I squirt, it's almost simultaneous with orgasms. And then maybe like almost immediately 2 times, like I'll like insertion, come out, squirt, insertion, come out, squirt. Just, and those times aren't necessarily with orgasm. Those are
separate. Because I feel like it's been a little same for me, a little with both. Guys like, wow. I'm like, yeah, I wasn't orgasm. But the first time I do, same exact thing. I totally get it. Manus, have you ever had anyone squirt on you?
Multiple times.
Were you freaked out or were you like,
he left. He went to order a pizza.
He was like,
I got to go to the laundromat later now.
That's a bummer. Put some towels down, people. It is messy.
Yeah.
Even if you buy a waterproof mattress,
buy
a floaty boat thing, one of those rafts or something.
I got this throw from Liberator. It was like, whatever, the sex throw that's supposed to be waterproof. And then it messed with me mentally. So then whenever my partner and I would put it down before we had sex, I wouldn't squirt.
Right, because you're like, you prepare for it.
Yeah.
Because you want to do it so bad.
Damn
it.
I got to get one of those throws, though. That's a good one.
They are good. Yeah, but then I was just like, fuck it, because it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes you're like psyching yourself out. I totally get it. Okay, so G-spot, and the G-spot orgasms are, do you feel like you have a clitoral orgasm first and then the G-spot?
When I'm having sex, when I'm on top, it's kind of like, I feel like it starts with clitoral and then it's the whole body.
Mm-hmm. Right. And do you feel like that came naturally for you, or you had to learn that more through, like, how would you teach a woman? Because I get these questions all the time.
I would say masturbate a lot clitorally.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, and it is, it's like, it's muscle memory and it's muscle contraction. It's like the same as if you're lifting weights and you're working out your biceps. So it's just like, it'll come easily to you. You will get stronger. It's the same with your whole system down there.
Exactly. So. And pelvic floor exercises really help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to, let's answer some emails. I'd love to get your help here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you everybody for emailing me feedback@sexwithemily.com. And you guys have been so great lately because you're remembering to give me your age and where you live. Emily, I have a dilemma. I'm really into rough sex, like hair pulling, spanking, tie me up, hard and fast kind of rough sex. My boyfriend isn't. He likes the sensual, slow, and romantic kind. Don't get me wrong. Every
Which
now
guy
and then,
wants that? I don't know.
A lot. Not you, but every now
I think
and then.
99.9%.
They want
what she wants, and they're like looking for a girl like that.
Well, here we go. Not everyone, clearly. Every now and then, it's nice to have that, but he's completely closed the idea of rough sex because he doesn't want to hurt me. How can I ease the idea onto him better? Thank you, Molly. I'm tossing this to you, Maxie.
Tequila. Ooh. It's always the answer.
Tequila, yeah. That's a rough one. I would say maybe start out with something that doesn't feel so violent. So maybe not tying up. Maybe start with some light spanking, like just the hand.
Take his hand and show how she likes to be spanked.
Yeah,
exactly. Put a ball gag on. Mm-hmm. And no, give him hand on the paddle or hand him his hand. Just show him. Because some guys do it wrong. They like slap the... I know it's the worst. I'm like, hey, babe, underneath there, like the padding part.
Right where your cheek meets your thigh is a good sweet spot. Because if you go up further, you're going to like hit someone's kidneys or it's just...
I know, it's so bad. Guys lower. Spank wrong. They and you're like, wrong. I appreciate... I don't want to like knock him down. I'm like, I appreciate the effort, but that's painful.
Oh, yeah. I think guiding their hands to the right spot is always a good win.
Exactly. Guide their hands to the right spot. Mm-hmm. You could also, you know, you could just start talking about it and say, God, grab my ass. That'd be really hard if you grab my ass right now. I mean, I wouldn't say start out with like the blindfolds and like your dungeon, all of that. But also you can talk about fantasies. Like, is there anything you want to try? But it's hard if a guy's not into the rough set. She thinks he's going to hurt her. So how do you explain, like, guys, because a lot of people watch 50 Shades of Grey. We're talking Middle America or wherever. And they're like, I don't get it. I do not intellectually understand how that feels good and how pleasure and pain are so closely connected. And so it can be tricky to get someone to cross over to your side. They can watch some porn together, read some books.
Reading books is always, I'm like a huge book nerd, so I'm always like, I want to find literature on everything. But maybe movies.
Yeah. What would you suggest? Any good porn you're into? What kind of porn do you watch?
Oh, God. I've been stuck in this rut of porn for so long. I love massage porn.
Massage porn.
Like massage therapist comes in and massages it.
Right, and then it turns into sex. I don't know why. Like, I thought
everyone wants that.
I thought it was a phase that I was going through. You know how you like go through your phases
with porn?
I was like, I'm in this phase. And then I was like, I think I've been in that phase for like 3 years.
Nice. How do you even find that?
Still watching massage porn. On YouPorn.
So is it the woman getting a massage?
Either way, I'm fine with like the woman getting the massage or the man getting the massage or two girls doing the massage.
Do you watch porn most times you masturbate, or do you also use your own good old imagination?
Usually I start with porn, and then a lot of times I wind up just like closing my eyes and using my imagination.
And what do you think about? Do you
think about my fantasies? Own sexual experiences.
Things that have already happened.
Yeah, could be like the latest one, or it could be like I have a few favorites, but...
What's your like go-to?
I have... Oh, God. I mean, I really like public sex. So I have a few, like, public sex experiences that I always think about.
Yeah? Is there one in particular?
One time I was moving from New York to LA, and I was driving in a cross country, and I drove a white Honda Accord. It was terrible.
We've all done that.
Yeah.
I've had a white Honda Accord.
Yeah, we probably all had that same white Honda Accord. But we were on this, like, stretch of highway in Wisconsin or someplace. Very rural, and we just pulled over to the side, and he bent me over the hood of my car and just like fucked me on the free, you know, with just like miles of freeway.
That's hot.
But it's like
the bend over.
Yeah. By the time a car was coming by close enough, it was going too fast to really like slow down and be like, "What's going on?"
After sex, public sex. That's that's a hot one. How are your parents with what you do?
Should totally wear that while having sex.
Have your parents come around?
They don't know.
Oh wow! Yeah. What? No way!
Yeah, I don't believe it. You know. I kind of think that too. I think that if they did know, it's not like they're going to say, like, I'm 30 years old. They're not going to sit me down and be like, hey,
we don't approve.
We don't approve. Because what are they going to do? Like, you can't come home for Christmas. Like, they're like begging me to come home.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. No. And I have a really good relationship actually with both my parents and my siblings. And my siblings are aware of what I do and they're very supportive.
And have they kept more of the religious?
My sister
line?
Has and my brother not so much.
Okay.
But my parents aren't super conservative. But they are Christian.
Right. Yeah. So they are not probably logging into your site.
Yeah, they are not logging into my site.
Yeah. My mom tells everyone she helps couples with relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's my fine mom, whatever you do. Well, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to see you again at your show, and you're beautiful and talented and smart. And
you can find Moxie on Twitter. It's at Moxie Cotton. That's MoxiContin.
Menace, you and your pup, where can we find you?
Oh, Instagram, just Menace, MENACE. Or, and if you want to follow my dog, it's my dog, Chiro.
I'd rather follow your dog.
Yeah, she's a lot more fun than I am.
She's really cute.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Madison, for a great show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.
The other day, my friends at Adam and Eve called to ask me if I wanted to give away free vibrators to my audience. I said no. I'm kidding. Of course I said yes, but only for a very limited time when you use code Emily at adamandeve.com. They're going to send you a free pocket rocket with your order. Pocket Rockets are great little vibrators. They're perfect for clitoral stimulation alone or with a partner. They're super easy to use and compact enough to stash anywhere. Oh, on top of the free Pocket Rocket, Adam and Eve will also chop 50% off the price of almost any single item and ship the whole order for free. To get in on this deal, just go to adamandeve.com and enter code Emily at checkout. I suggest you do it before they realize just how many of you are out there.